Now it's my turn to bring the word. Before I do, let me invite you to take your Bible to stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the word of the living God. And I covenant with them that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, you've heard our declaration again this morning. And we thank you for the opportunity that we can come before your throne of grace, present our petitions, and that we can come and take comfort from your word day by day, anytime we so choose. I ask now that you'd be with me as I bring the message this morning. Speak to each one of our hearts and let us leave this place knowing that we know Jesus better. Thank you, Father, for your love and your watch care over us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. My sermon title this morning is Holy Spirit, Faithful Guide. And let's begin by beginning in the Word. Let me invite you to turn to John's Gospel. What book did I say? John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, and chapter 16, verse 1. I was looking for an illustration for my message this morning, and I did not have one, but Karen had the illustration this morning. I appreciate what your co-workers did for you, and I appreciate your witness. Just listen to this, beginning the 18th verse. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Now, these words of Christ was written in the context of love, joy being perfected in the human heart. He was making reference to what he expected of his disciples before his ascension to heaven. In chapter 15, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, the body of Christ, the church, is like family. We should care about each other. We should love each other. And if you are experiencing this love that God wants to spread abroad in our hearts, there's going to be joy, peace, and contentment. Now follow me. I want to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit. I could have also titled the sermon, Making Disciples. But I want to spend some time dealing with the work of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 15, when Jesus talks with his disciples, he talks about how the world will hate those who choose to have a life that is in harmony with God's will. And you will find that especially in usually within families. You don't have to move too far before, you're excited about sharing your witness, sharing the good news, and letting people know that Jesus is coming. It's not long before you are greeting those who don't know the Lord, and they are asking you to stop. They don't want to hear it anymore. Chapter 16 deals with the work of the Holy Spirit and how he expects his disciples to take the initiative and shoulder more responsibility in mastering the mission. Did you see what our mission was? Who had the scripture reading this morning? Juanita. Go ye therefore into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what's the next part of the verse? baptizing them, and then teaching them. And then the promise, He says, "Lo, I am with you." How long? Always, or till the end of the age, it says in some Bibles, or till the end of the world, it says in others. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The disciples had the assurance that Jesus would keep contact with them through His Holy Spirit, and the only thing they would lack would be His physical appearance. Look at verse 7 in chapter 16. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." You know, when Jesus came to this earth, He covered His divinity with humanity. And one of the things that was covered was His omnipresence. He couldn't be everywhere present at the same time. He couldn't be in Jerusalem and in Samaria at the same time. He was limited to His humanity. But Jesus, in His omnipotence, it could be everywhere present at the same time. So He promised the disciples that He would send a helper that would comfort, that would direct, that would give them encouragement. And this, not only would this Spirit be not limited, but wherever they were, the Holy Spirit would be present. They had the omnipresence of God in their lives. In Desire of Ages, page 351, it says, "The believers would thus be led to look upon them as divinely appointed leaders, and when the Savior should be taken from them, they would not be left without instruction." It is the Holy Spirit that guides us, that directs us, and gives us understanding when we open God's Word. In fact, you should never open God's Word unless you bow your head and ask God that, or ask the Holy Spirit that He would be present with you to guide you, to direct you, to instruct you, to enlighten you. It was the work of the Holy Spirit to help the disciples. And we are not limited to these 12 apostles or 12 disciples in the beginning. We are also disciples of Christ, and we are to become masters of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. John's gospel shares with us the advantage of having the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit, number one, the Holy Spirit would be Christ's ever-present representative with them. Circumstances might separate us from loved ones and friends, but nothing, you see, can separate us from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "And I pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever," in John 14, verse 16. You see, the Holy Spirit would be within them in full force, always, everywhere, to reach the world through them. Do you know, when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you also now have been chosen to be His eyes, His ears, His mouthpiece, His spokesperson. You are to go into all the world, and you begin at home. You begin at home, then you move into the community, and then when you share the word with the community, you move out. You continue to share. The second thing about the Holy Spirit, He would empower the disciples to accomplish the grand goal that Christ had set before them at the beginning. In Acts 1, verse 8. This is what Jesus said just before He ascended to heaven. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And I want to tell you, dear hearts, it's quite significant that Jesus chose this empowering statement to be His final words to His disciples. He was challenging them, you see, to raise their sights higher. raised their sights higher because there was a task that was ahead of them. And he launched these disciples, or these apostles, into discipleship training with these words from John chapter 4, verse 35. He says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white for the harvest." Because we believe that statement, that's why we do evangelism once or twice a year in our church. We believe that the fields are ready to be harvested. But let me tell you, it is your work to proclaim the gospel. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict. Don't be discouraged because when you give a Bible study or you give your testimony or a witness that someone is not going to laugh at you or make fun of you or not accept the message or accept what you believe is God's will for your life. Do not be discouraged. You know, when we had our evangelistic series, 40 precious souls came out to hear these messages. But the Holy Spirit only convicted 5. Now, I'm not discouraged because these other 35 people, they have gotten the message either by hearing or by seeing. They took the guide. Some of them bought the DVDs or the CDs. And the Holy Spirit will continue to work upon their heart, and we will continue to reap the harvest if we are faithful in doing the work that we've been called to do to bring others in. The third thing about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, number 3, Jesus came into the world veiling his divinity and humanity, but the Holy Spirit would come in the fullness of divine power. Now, I know that sometimes we kneel down and pray and we ask God, give me more of the Holy Spirit. What we need to pray for is that God open my understanding that I might understand more. Send the Holy Spirit that then help me to understand more. Desire of Ages 671. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. It is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. You see, the Holy Spirit will continue to convict hearts long after they have heard our witness. The fourth thing about the Holy Spirit, it was the work of the apostles to make disciples. As they were moved in faith to make disciples. Now listen to this. As they were moved in faith to witness, to make disciples of others, the Spirit Himself would do the convicting of people's hearts. John 16:8 says, the Spirit would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Number 5. The Holy Spirit would teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all that Christ had taught in John 16:26. The sixth thing about the Holy Spirit, He would guide them into all truth and would tell them things to come. John 16:13. You see, it is the Holy Spirit that opens our understanding that we might have an appreciation for heavenly things. John 16:13-14. Number 7. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You know, we are often caught up in what's happening right now. We are often where we are focused on what is happening in our lives or what we are struggling with in our lives. That's where we are focusing. We're focusing by sight and not by faith. We must learn, you see, as Christians, we must learn what is seen, what is unseen is more real than what is seen. Let me say that again. We must learn that what is unseen, what you can't see, is more real than what you can see. And as fruit-bearing disciples, we must live by faith and not by sight. As the world's Redeemer, Gospel Workers 514 and 15, it says, as the world's Redeemer, Christ was constantly confronted with apparent failure. He seemed to do little of the work which he longed to do in uplifting and saving, but he would not be discouraged. He knew that truth would finally triumph in the context with evil. You see, when Jesus came, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. When he went into town, when he witnessed, he was often confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the church. He was accused as a wine bibbler. He's accused of, all kinds of untruths. The devil, you see, placed every obstacle in front of them that Christ didn't do or couldn't do the work that he would have liked to have accomplished on behalf of the nation of Israel. But because of their unfaithfulness, the message went to the world. Christ is the master of mission. Working along with him helps us to master the mission of preparing our part of the vineyard for the finished work. We have the work to do right here in Aiken County, don't we? Before Jesus comes, we have to take the message to every little town in the county in which we live. And when we have finished, we move out farther and farther. You see, Jesus himself, he has given us the mandate. We are to prepare our part of the vineyard. And let me share with you my vision for the church. And I trust that this will become your vision. We are to carry on a work that is twofold. It is in reach and outreach. In reach as to do what's happening in the body of Christ, what's happening in the church. We have to nurture. We have to love each other. We have to take care of the physical needs of the building. But outreach has to do with our commitment of sharing the gospel with others, and we have to use every method that is available. And I want to tell you something, that prayer is a strong weapon in the hand of those who are faithful. Prayer is heaven's ordained means of unlocking the resources of heaven. We ask, we have not because we ask not, Jesus says. Now, not only is prayer important, but we are also to give a testimony of what Jesus has done for us. Folks, Jesus, the people can't argue with your testimony. They argue with Scripture because they have a different interpretation or they've been taught differently. And sometimes what they've been taught has been askewed. They cannot argue with your testimony. This is what Jesus has done for me. They can laugh at you or they can praise God from whom all blessings flow. Bible study. Folks, there's something happens when we take God's Word and don't stand on hearsay, but open God's Word and read, and thus saith the Lord. I remember back in 1970 when I gave my heart to Jesus to become a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. It was a wonderful experience. But I started out in the fall of the year trying to find out what happens when someone dies. I asked a Catholic priest. He sent me to purgatory. I asked the Anglican minister, and he sends you to immediately to be with the angels. The Salvation Army says you become like an angel and you're promoted to glory. The Pentecostals said that, oh yeah, when you die, you go straight to heaven. Everybody told me what they thought the Bible had to say about what happens when someone dies. But I met the Seventh-day Adventist pastor, and I asked him, what happens when someone dies? And he says, let's see what the Bible has got to say. He opened up the Bible to the book of Genesis, and we studied. We went through a systematic study, and when I finished the study with Pastor Gordon Miller, I knew and understood what God says about what happens when someone dies. And if God said it, I believe that it was good enough for me. There's something happens when we open God's Word that the Holy Spirit can use to bring conviction on the hearts of individuals. So we do Bible study. We do our evangelism. We look for every opportunity to share our faith. And sometimes it's the word that is not spoken as the most influence. How we conduct ourselves at work, how we conduct ourselves when we're around people, how we dress leaves an impression on people. All of these things are things, if we are living in harmony with God's will, it leaves an impression on others. We may not have to say a word. Amen. Dear hearts, we need to have seasons of prayer. We need to do Bible study and evangelism. But just remember, whatever we do as a Christian, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Wherever we are, the Holy Spirit is present. That's comforting, isn't it? Yes. We are called, you see. Now listen to this. We have been called to make disciples of others who will make disciples, who will make disciples. It's the ripple effect. We have been called to make disciples of others who will make disciples, who will make disciples. We need to begin by having seasons of prayer. And from these seasons of prayer, leaders will emerge. And these leaders will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a small group ministry. Maybe it is an individual who has a desire to do a certain ministry. It may be inreach. It may be outreach. But the first thing you need to do is find someone to come alongside you. Someone you can pray together with and work together with. You see, if there's two, in fact, two is better than one. If one falls down, you got somebody else to help you up. Two is better than one. Back in the summertime, we did a survey in our church, and we looked at that survey pointed out our strengths and our weaknesses. And there's eight areas within any given church that has strengths and weaknesses. And as we begin to work on our weak points, we will not only strengthen it, but we will strengthen those that are already strong. There being leadership, spirituality, health ministry, structures, worship, our service, evangelism, family and relations. These leaders of these small groups will take the responsibility of making disciples of others, inviting them to join with them. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. In our study of Galatians, we're going to talk about, we hadn't talked about it yet in our Sabbath school, but we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The thing that the disciples, that Jesus wanted for his disciples was love for one another. He wanted to have joy and contentment in their hearts. And the work of the Holy Spirit on your heart is to bring about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance. To have these things present in your life, you are a rich person. Because you understand that your Father is omnipotent and He owns everything. And you're in here to this. Sons and daughters of God. What a tremendous blessing. We are like branches, you see. We are becoming one with the vine. And those sturdy branches are no longer tossed about by every wind of doctrine. With every direction that blows, we are anchored securely on it, thus saith the Lord. We're anchored in Jesus. Christ's life flowing through us. The Holy Spirit, you see, the Holy Spirit's power energizing us to produce and reproduce the goodly fruit. Peace, love, joy, long-suffering. When the disciples came forth from the Savior's training, they were no longer ignorant and uncultured. They had become like Him in mind and character, and men took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And folks, I want to tell you, if you will spend time with Him every day, men will take note that you too have been with Jesus. It's from The Desire of Ages, page 250. Also from the same book, 250, same page. It's a beautiful gem. It says, he who loves Christ the most will do the greatest amount of good. There is no limit to the usefulness of one who puts self aside and makes room for the work of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. If men will endure the necessary discipline without complaining or fainting by the way, God will teach them hour by hour and day by day. He longs to reveal His grace. If His people will remove the obstructions, He will pour forth the waters of salvation in abundant streams through the human channels. If men in humble life were encouraged to do all the good they could do, if restraining hands were not laid upon them to repress their zeal, there would be 100 workers for Christ where there is now one. Have mercy. We are often, you see, caught up in the immediate. We are visual creatures. We find ourselves struggling with living by sight and not by faith. But the mature disciple of Jesus will have learned from Him to take a long look, to dwell on what is eternal, not what is temporal. The things that are not seen are more real than the things you see. As fruit-bearing disciples, we must live by faith, not by sight. And our motto must be, Christ's way is the best way. One more statement from the little book, Gospel Workers. While much of the fruit of their labor is not apparent in this life, God's workers have a sure promise of ultimate success. As the world's Redeemer, Christ was constantly confronted with apparent failure. He seemed to do little of the work which He longed to do in uplifting and saving. Satanic agencies were constantly working to obstruct His way. But He would not be discouraged. Even ever before Him, He saw the results of His mission. He knew that the truth would finally triumph in the contest with evil. And folks, I want to tell you, we know what's happening because we've read the last chapter in the book. Jesus is coming. Sin will be obliterated. It will not raise its ugly head the second time. And we will live throughout the ceaseless ages in harmony. No hospitals. No policemen. No doctors. No lawyers. We'll ever be learning, we'll always be teaching or being taught. We will grow to be all that we can be in the new kingdom. So my prayer and my desire is, come Holy Spirit, we need you. Help us to master the mission so we can go forward. Help us to move forward by faith and help us to believe and see Christ's way is the best way. Amen.